Now, I have a deep, deep respect for parents. I personally think parents have possibly the hardest job in the world. There's a parent next to you. You might just want to congratulate them or shake their hand or something. Because the thing that fascinates me with parents is that, in a sense, you're completely helpless. That you can give everything for your child. When your child is small, you have a vision of what you want them to become, to grow, become an adult, and you pour out everything, sleepless nights, more sleepless nights, so much money, expense, time, everything to give them what they need to become what you believe they should be. But at the end of the day, it's their choice whether they become that. And in that sense, you're helpless. And I see that and I feel your pain because I think it's such a hard job. That you can pour out so much time and energy, but at the end of the day, your child decides which way they go. Do they become the vision of the adult that you hoped would be the case? Do they just stay as a child for the rest of their life? Or do they go down the wrong path altogether and become what you really hoped they would never become? And you're kind of left there just looking on from the sidelines, doing everything you can. I know, looking around at your faces, I can see some of you think, yeah, I know that. This is what we hear in the first reading. In the first reading, we hear this almost exact same sentiment from God, where he speaks of this vineyard, his people Israel. He's done everything. He's poured out every good gift, done everything needed for them to bear fruit and become the perfect vine. And you hear this deep cry where he says, what more could I have done for you, Israel? I've poured out everything, and you have only yielded sour grapes. That God is stuck in this same helpless position. He has done everything, far more than any of you could ever do for your children. He has poured out every grace. He has gone to the lengths of dying on the cross for us, poured out his Holy Spirit, given us his very life, poured into our hearts, so that the truth would be written into our hearts. But at that point, he still stands helpless as he sits back and watches what we do with our free will. And the sad reality is, so many of us do fall short of his grand vision for us. Because God does have a grand vision for you. Some of us don't really want to know what that is. Yeah, but you were made for glory. You were made for sainthood. You were made to be glorious in his life, in his love. But we sell ourselves short and we choose this mediocre life so often because it's what everyone else does and because it's easy. We don't want to stand out from the crowd. And so we almost turn our eyes away from this vision. We don't want to even know the vision that God has for us. We'd prefer to fill our minds with the vision that the world gives us. And yet here we hear the desperate cry of the heart of God. What more could I have done for you so that you could reach the vision that you were made for? So this puts to us a very important question. Why don't we go there? Why don't we go to this place where the Lord is calling us to? You were made to be saints, but I'm sure the very thought of that fills you with terror and you think, oh, no, 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 no. Maybe sometime when I'm 80, I might think of that. Or once I get to 80, I'll put it off for a few more years and wait till I'm 90. But for now, I want to live my life. I want to do my thing. You know, life is glorious. It's got so many possibilities. Why do I want to limit myself? And that's where we find ourselves at the gospel. Because in the gospel, Jesus tells this story of those who've been put in charge of the vineyard. Now, as always, The scriptures are meant to interpret us. They're meant to reveal something of our heart. And this is really where Jesus shows the heart of the matter. That we don't want to be directed. In this parable, you've got people as laborers put in charge of the vineyard, and they're simply given simple instructions. Follow what the master says, and you will bear bountiful fruit. But there is this deep rebellion in the heart. We want the vineyard, but we don't want the master. We don't want to be told what to do. We can do a better job than he can, and so let's get rid of him, and then we can do this a whole lot more efficiently. This speaks something very true of the human heart. That the reason why we don't want to follow the vision of God is because there is this deep rebellion in the human heart. And just because we call ourselves Christians and just because we're here in the church doesn't mean that this isn't the reality. You know, all of us experience this to varying degrees. While most people have rebelled to the point that they're not here, even within us, this rebellion is still present in us. That we don't want God to be directing the show. We're happy to keep our distance. We're happy to be working in the vineyard. We're happy to be working towards the same goal even. But we'll do it our way. And we'll do it according to our rules. And sadly, this is really where the church is at the moment. And I've worked in various places throughout our church, various organizations and movements, and time and again you find there's this desire to have Christianity without Christ. We like the structure. We like the vision of helping humanity, of serving the poor, of educating people. But we don't really want God to get in the way. And you find this, once again, in varying degrees. But there is this movement where we want to keep God at a safe distance because we believe that we know how to do this better. And we're almost a bit embarrassed to have God get involved. And even within our own lives, when we're making those big decisions, this is the case. That I'm happy to turn to God in those areas where I know that I'm helpless. I'll go to prayer and ask him for those safe things. But for the big decisions in my life, he can keep his distance. Because this is my sphere of life. I'll make the decisions here. My finances, my future, my vocation, my work, my relationships. I'll keep God out of that. We find ourselves in the vineyard trying to get rid of the master. This really is the heart of the issue. And once again, this is the thing that Jesus was speaking into so often in his ministry. The fact that Jesus spent so much time speaking about God as Father. It's one of these things in the gospel we often skip over. Whenever we pray the Our Father, you can see people sort of glazing over like, oh yes, we know this bit. But it really is the most profound revelation of Jesus. That he comes to say, God is your Father. And so you need to relate to him as a child. A child who wants to have a father. A child who wants to be submitted to that father. Not the rebellious child who says, thanks, Dad, I'll take the money from my pocket money and then I'll go and I'll do my own thing. But someone who chooses to live in the house of the Father under the will of the Father. Yeah, Jesus was speaking this out of a very Jewish mindset, obviously. And as you'd be aware, in the Jewish culture, it's very patriarchal. Yeah, it was very much structured, living within a set order, under set rules. Looking at from our culture, we would say that's horribly oppressive. Even the word patriarchy kind of makes people think, oh, it's oppressive. It's stifling my liberation. It's got all these negative connotations to it. Because this speaks of where we're at in our culture. If you look at so many of the great philosophers of the last 100 years, all of them wanted to get rid of fatherhood. They had this real issue that fatherhood limits your freedom. Get rid of your father, get rid of God, who is your father, and then you're free. And this has influenced us. This is the air we breathe within this culture. That we pursue this idea of ultimate liberation, where we want to get rid of all rules and all restrictions and anyone who imposes them. And so as soon as God comes in trying to direct events, we back off. We're happy to have God in this nice, distant, spiritual sense. But a God who comes as Father, who comes to show us his will, who comes to show us the path of life and fulfillment, that can seem a little bit too directive, and it can seem a little bit too stifling of our freedom. And yet the message of Christianity is that this is our freedom. These rules are not an oppression, but rather they are our liberation. As Jesus says, you'll come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We're living in a world that says, get rid of all the truth and then you'll be free. Get rid of any sense of direction and live your own life. Get rid of the master and live in that vineyard as though it was your own. We need to bring ourselves back to understand this message. It really is a very countercultural message for this age. A whole new understanding of what is freedom. What is our true liberation? It's not to have endless choice. It's not to have every possibility in the world open to us. But rather to say, I'm a child of God. God has a plan for my life, and I'll place myself under his will, trusting that this is what he has made me for. In every part of my life, in your vocation, but in every decision of every day. What is the will of your Father? This becomes your security, that you live in the house of the Father. That if you are standing under his will, then you are standing under his protection. If we step outside that house, we're on our own. The message of Christ is that you are made for glory. You are made for something so glorious you can't begin to imagine it. But to attain that, you have to make that decision to live under the will of the Father. To be aware of the rebelliousness that's in our hearts. That desire to get rid of the master of the vineyard, do things our own way. And come to that place where we say, God, your will be done. Your will is the best thing for me, and that is what I want to be in my life. We need to delve into the scriptures again and see the world through the eyes of Jesus, particularly the concept of freedom. To see that the concept of freedom that Jesus operates out of is one of truth, one of obedience, and one of therefore being made into the glory we are destined to be. So we come here to the Eucharist, to this place where Jesus reveals the fatherly love to us. He brings us into this encounter with his Father in the Trinity. We come here to pray together the words of the Our Father. So as we come into this, don't let them be just words. But let this be your response as we stand together and pray the Our Father together. Let this be our decision to say, this is how I live. I live as a child who is loved infinitely, a child who wants to be made into the glorious vision that my Father has for me. And I choose to do his will from this point forward.